We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back here on Sports Talk, we welcome in now Dr. Russell Steele, head of pediatrics infectious disease, at Ochsner Hospital. Dr. Steele, thank you so much for the time.
Nice being here. Thank you.
So, right now, as a pediatric infectious disease expert, where do you think, or where do you stand on schools reopening in the fall, in particular having sports in the fall as well?
Well, two things. As far as the schools are concerned, that we have to keep the children safe, number one, but the interaction with other children, the socialization, is thought to be extremely important by the American Academy of Pediatrics. So wherever we can have real face-to-face classroom activity, it's going to be pushed. I think we're headed toward a combination of both virtual teaching, face-to-face contact, particularly for young children, you know, who need to have the teacher there. But we can figure this out, I think, in the long run, as we see what we're facing by the time next month comes around.
Doc, how safe is it to play football or any fall sport right now? Or unsafe, would you say, based on the numbers that we're looking at now?
We really don't know. And, you know, of course, America has a stronger sports culture than any other country in the world, because we have multiple sports: football, baseball, basketball, golf, etc. And most places just have soccer. And so it's part of us. It just is, and it's part of kids' play. And as far as the safety for that, we don't know how much of a problem that contact is. Things can be done to keep kids separated for some sports, but not for all. So, you know, for instance, I would think that sports, well, certainly golf is no problem, tennis, and even baseball, kids are separated more if you just look at the way the sport is set up. But football, wrestling, basketball require closer contact, so I think there would be more caution with those particular sports.
Could you see where, if you had sports, maybe because you can have golf, you can have swimming, for example, cross country, but they might just say, "Hey, look, we can't figure out a way to do basketball safely and football safely, therefore suspending the season."
Well, I can see that happening, and we have to make a judgment based on all data. But I would emphasize that the disease of coronavirus has been milder in children than adults, particularly adults with comorbidity, with medical problems. And you know, it's just the nature of the infection itself. And coronavirus is really an adult disease, not a pediatric disease. The percentage of children who have any kind of serious infection is incredibly low. We do have some. They tend to be teenagers or a little bit older kids. But for young children, I think you'll see that when they have disease, it may be asymptomatic or quite mild in the overwhelming majority of those children. And that influences our decisions also, of course.
Dr. Russell Steele, head of pediatrics, or pediatric infectious diseases at Ochsner Hospital. Doc, so as you see it right now, as a doctor, and I know you're not maybe the vaccine expert or what have you, but when do you think is a realistic idea of when we could get one? And then on top of that, how hard is it to get the mass production of the vaccine?
Well, it's an unusual virus. Now, I do a lot of work in vaccinology, and I've done a lot of investigational trials with new vaccines. And the rate-limiting step with them is getting patients to receive them in what's called a phase two, the time where we're looking at safety and efficacy. And that's going to be shortened. So in the past, it would take like 2 or 3 years to have a vaccine approved. But on the other hand, we're moving faster. And I think that once we get beyond the safety issue, that we may be doing both rapid vaccine trials and getting it out into the public faster than we ordinarily would, because we know it's safe, and time will tell how effective it is. So that's going to shorten thing by shorten things by a couple of years. And that's what everybody has emphasized. And that's why we think we may have a vaccine December or the beginning of next year. But it may not be as effective as what we would like. But we know it will be safe. It's easy to do the safety trials. So I'm optimistic myself that we can move fairly rapidly with this, as long as the vaccine or the organism itself doesn't show a strong propensity to mutate. In that case, we'd be chasing it with other vaccines. But I would point out, for instance, that our mumps vaccine was developed in less than a year because the methods of production were already known, and safety was proven quite rapidly. So we have that as a precedent. And then also our flu vaccines, you know, are developed every year. And so the delay is just 1 year in getting a new flu vaccine. So, again, I think we can stay quite optimistic. But we probably will be facing a circumstance where we know we have a safe vaccine, but we don't know how effective it might be.
When you say safe in terms of not going to cause any problems once someone gets vaccinated, is that what you mean?
Yeah, it's mostly what we call anaphylaxis. That is, a lot of people having problems with breathing or heart problems after receiving the vaccine, or a generalized rash of hives, that sort of thing. But that's the main safety issue. Now, there is, I should say, the long-term safety issue that we won't know for a long time. Things like there was an entity called Guillain-Barré syndrome that we saw with the swine flu back in 1976, a while back. But we didn't know that was a problem until a few years after it was out. So we may have to face that hurdle or accept that potential consequence. But those types of reactions are extremely rare. Again, knowing that most people can receive the vaccine and not have an immediate allergic response to them is most paramount.
Dr. Russell Steele, head of pediatric infectious diseases at Ochsner Hospital. Doc, is there any evidence, any data, any science that says that this COVID-19 virus has mutated either way, whether more severe or less severe?
Not yet, because we don't have all the markers for the antigen components of the vaccine, but it doesn't appear that it has mutated yet. But it takes most viruses a while to mutate, more than months. You know, usually takes years for that to happen. We saw this with HIV, with that virus, the AIDS virus, that, you know, after about 5 years or so, we began to see some mutations. So I think we have a lot of time ahead of us that we're dealing with a single virus that we can develop a vaccine for. And if the virus stays stable, the vaccine would be effective for a long period of time.
So under our current direction right now, we're by the state of Louisiana, Governor John Bel Edwards, we are mandated everyone 8 years of old, 8 years of age or older to wear a mask. Why the cutoff date at 8? And if you could just explain that.
Well, it has to do with children's compliance. But, you know, I had a 2-year-old today who loved wearing the mask. And so younger children can wear them. I think, you know, the mandate that you have to do, because a kid 8 years of age or older should be expected to be compliant. Younger children, I think the parents can make a decision as to their child's comfort with a mask. But other states are mandating masks down to age 5, for instance. So it's rather arbitrary. But we would encourage the mask, at least, in all children, even children as young as a year of age.
Dr. Russell Steele here, head of pediatric infectious diseases at Ochsner Hospital. So, Doc, correct me if I'm wrong here. The concern, if they were to play sports like fall football or what have you, the concern would not necessarily be as high. I'm not trying to marginalize the teenagers, the football players, but the concern necessarily wouldn't be about them, but maybe older coaches with some comorbidities or certainly parents and grandparents, right?
Well, the older, the higher risk. So, coaches are not, generally that old. I don't think that they would be in a high-risk group. Other things that make them high risk are comorbidity factors like diabetes or immune deficiency. And those people, I think, understand their risk and so would be more cautious in a setting like with a sports group where there would be a lot of contact with children and with other adults. But those people have to individualize their risk, but they, by and large, know what the risks might be for them. Again, time will tell. We just don't have enough information on what you're asking. That is, if you had a lot of kids practicing football or baseball or any sport, what is the likelihood that they would transmit infection one child to another or one child to the coaches or other people working with them? We don't know. And are we willing to give it a test to see what the risk might be? I think we would find that with the children, at least, that the risk would be very low. Those are the data we have right now. And again, depending on risk factors for the adults, it might be variable.
Doc, are the kids as dangerous of asymptomatic carriers and spreaders as they originally thought to be?
Good question. And we haven't been testing a lot of children to see who are carriers. I mean, if we know they're exposed, they might be tested, but we don't test them unless they're symptomatic, which implies that if the risk is the same for a young child as an adult, and we know the adults are more likely to get symptomatic while kids don't, then they're probably asymptomatic carriers, if they're exposed. We have a lot more work to do on that issue by screening children to see what the risk might be. And so, I mean, this would be almost an experiment, but you take kids playing football, let's test them and see if anybody's infected, but let them practice or play, and then test them as time goes on and see if one or two had become positive, see who else might become positive. I mean, that's going on in the professional world, as you know, right now, particularly with baseball players, and we're notified every time a professional baseball player tests positive. But if you look carefully at what's happening, we're not seeing that they're going into a camp positive and then infecting a lot of other players. That's just not happening. We don't have the data that's happening right now.
Dr. Russell Steele, head of pediatric infectious diseases at Ochsner Hospital. Doc, anything you want to add that I did not ask you?
Well, I'd like to just emphasize the fact that Americans are in a sports culture. It's very important to us. And so as soon as we can open up the things for professional sports and for kids, the better. Now, I go to Saints games, and I love taking my grandkids to professional baseball games. But I enjoy it also on TV, and I haven't quite understood why we can't have as much baseball and other sports and just watch it on TV, even though there may not be a whole lot of fans in the stands. Won't be as much fun for the players, and I guess it won't generate as much revenue, but I'd sure like to watch those teams play at home.
Hey, look, if it means no fans in the stands, but I still get to watch Saints football on TV, if that's the sacrifice I got to make, I'm fine with that. Doc, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Russell Steele, head of pediatric infectious diseases, Ochsner Hospital. This is Sports Talk here on Saints Radio, WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.